And what it really comes down to is it is a group that coerces and manipulates you in order to exploit your labor.
That's Daniela Mestinek-Young, and I'm Dan Skinner. This is Conversations. Daniela Mestinek-Young is a cult survivor, a U.S. Army veteran, and a Harvard-trained organizational psychologist. Her first book, Uncultured, was a critically acclaimed memoir of her cult experience. She joins us to talk about her current book, The Culting of America, What Makes a Cult and Why We Love Them. Daniela, welcome to Conversations.
Thank you so much for having me, Dan.
Well, before we talk about this latest book, tell us a little about your background, which you discussed in your memoir, Uncultured.
I was born three generations into the Children of God. The Children of God is known for religious prostitution and pedophilia, essentially. And my mother was born and raised in it. I was born and raised in it all around the world and was excommunicated before the age of 16, at which point I came to the U.S., put myself through school, high school and college, and then joined the United States Army, where I became an intelligence officer. Since I was already the expert on bad guys, I decided to remain the expert on bad guys and write a book about tactics that cults use. And that's been my new project.
So in your memoir, you shared your personal story. And in this new book, you give us a history of cults and give us advice on, you know, what is a cult, how we can avoid getting involved with a cult. So let's start with something that may seem very basic, but maybe not everyone understands, and that is, what is a cult?
So the first thing I always tell people is a cult has to be a group. There has to be at least two people, but it only has to be two people. So you can have a one-one cult, you can have single family cults, you can have internet cults, and then you can have the big commune cults like I grew up in. And what it really comes down to is it is a group that coerces and manipulates you in order to exploit your labor. And I think the labor part is the piece that most people miss. You know, I grew up in the Children of God. We were an entertainment cult. And so I was trafficked around the world as a singing, dancing part of an army for God. So this labor piece is really, really important. I do, however, have like a 10-part definition of cult that is 10 different parts of organizational behavior that I break down in the book, because one of my things is I don't really care as much what we label a cult. But why are these groups doing cult tactics? And, you know, where can we find that in our very confusing world?
Now, there's so much in this book that we won't have time to talk about. So before we talk about a few more specifics, give us a brief overview. What are readers going to find in this book?
It's funny and it's fun. And there's might be some examples of groups that are cults that surprise you, like the Salvation Army. But really, it's not intended to be a call-out book of cults. It's I have these 10 parts of group behavior: charismatic leader, transcendent mission, ends justifies the means. And I show it to you in cults that we recognize as cults in the United States military and then in groups around us. And then, you know, two-thirds of the way into writing, we had what I believe is a cult get the government. And it has all seemed to become pretty relevant to what is going on in our history right now.
Well, one of the things you point out at the beginning of the book is that someone who's reading this book may be in a cult and not even realize it.
Yes, I think that has happened to many Americans. You know, when I was dropped into Texas in 2003, it was fairly clear to me that I had a lot of colleagues who had grown up in high control groups and not free to be developed. But when all we think of cults is the worst ones, the mass suicides, the, you know, abuse of children, we don't realize all of these little groups in our society. And even people who have come through them or might still be in them, they don't realize that what they're in is a cult, because to them, it doesn't look like Jonestown.
And sometimes people throw around the word cult when it's not really a cult at all, but you talk about some of the differences, like, you know, something that's an identity versus a group. And you talk about being a Swiftie, for example. So explain to us the difference between an identity and being part of a group that could be a cult.
So one of the things I always tell people is like the ianity or the ism is never the problem, right? Like Christianity was not the problem with Children of God. The cult was the problem. And any level of fanatic belief system doesn't make you a cult if you're not coercing people and exploiting their labor. And so just like, so Swiftie, you know, I was a Swiftie for 20 years. I'm kind of deconstructing that with my new workbook now, but that was an identity. And I don't think anyone has defined what fan groups actually are. And so I call it like a collective energy that can tip in either direction, but I don't see fan groups as cults.
Another distinguishing thing you make in the book is the difference between a group and a community. So tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, you know, I was frustrated getting to the end of the book because I did a 3-year research project on bad groups, and everyone wants a very quick chapter to explain good groups. And I was like, I don't even know if I'm the person to do this. So I brought in a Black woman who has taught me a lot about groups versus community. And one of the things that she has helped me to realize is like groups have a defined membership. And I feel like as soon as you define an us, you also define a them. Whereas community, the boundaries can be porous. People can come and go. In a community, you don't have to earn your way in. Whereas in a cult, I mean, from the time I was born at the age of 1, before that, I was working, right? I had to work. I had to earn my place in that group. And communities should just be able to hold people when they need to be held, help people who need to be helped, you know, and you can be in a different place at different times in a community. Many people can be leaders. You don't have to have these defined hierarchies. And one of the things I really found from looking at the history of not just cults, but America, is kind of how much we are lacking in true community, especially in white America.
One of the things you point out in the book that it's human behavior and our human needs that often make us susceptible to cults. Tell us a bit more about that.
Well, you know, I say that cults do some things right, which is community, mission, purpose. You know, even though nonprofits can be pretty terrible at exploiting labor, sometimes when veterans are struggling after they get out of the military, I'm like, go volunteer because you need a mission and a purpose. You're floundering right now. And so cults really do that, you know? And when I think about like women, especially in America, and how overworked and how alone we are, you know, it feels great to be with 12 other women cooking and doing the labor and watching everyone's children. And it feels so great that you don't realize how much you're being coerced and overworked. And all of this community and mission and purpose, it's not really real. It's kind of like a hack, like they're taking human nature and they're hacking it in order to get an unhealthy amount of motivation and labor out of you. And that becomes the big problem. But it can really be a struggle for us when we leave high control groups, because it actually feels really great to be surrounded with people that look and think like you and assure you that you're on, you know, on the right mission and you're doing life the right way. And then to just fall into America and its individualism and lack of community can be very shocking and very difficult.
One of the things you point out in the book is people often think, oh, a cult, that could never happen to me. That's only uneducated people, et cetera, et cetera. But you point out this can really happen to anyone.
It really can. And, you know, there was a Harvard-educated lawyer who died on the site of the Branch Davidians in Waco, Texas. And scholars thought this too when they first started studying cults, but it really comes down to two things. Being a seeker, which I don't think is a bad thing, people that want to understand life's bigger questions, and then not having a lot of social connections in your life. And even that can be a temporary thing. like you moved to go to college, or you just lost a loved one, or you just went through a breakup, and cults will target you at these times. You know, my grandfather was sitting in a park with his head in his hands after he had a bad LSD trip and met Satan. And that's when these four singing, dancing Children of God folks came up and recruited him. But like, they were looking for the man in the park with his head in his hands, who was clearly going through something.
What advice would you give people to be aware of whatever group they're part of, maybe leaning toward becoming a cult or actually is a cult? And how can we avoid being seduced into that situation?
So I think one of the best ways to protect ourselves is to really guard our time and our labor, including emotional labor, and understand what you are giving it to. Another piece of advice I tell people is that anywhere in the space of personal transformation, that can be exercise, education, diet, religion, predators are going to show up. And finally, don't devote all of yourself to any person, place, thing, or idea, you know, outside of yourself, because that's how you will get manipulated without noticing it.
Now, in addition to this book, you also have a workbook. Tell us about it.
So the book is the Cult Tactic Book. But one of the things that cults do, they don't give you a religion. They give you a worldview, which is sometimes a religion. And they force you to adopt a pseudo identity. And if you grew up in a cult like me, you don't even get to form your own identity. So the deconstruction workbook is for working through that worldview and that identity. So I'm using it to deconstruct Swiftianity right now and my 20 years of that worldview. And, you know, people are using it to deconstruct white supremacy, the religions they've been in, their experience with Alcoholics Anonymous. I kind of don't really think there's anything else like it. I still believe it takes a decade to deconstruct. I call it the decade of deconstruction, but this at least puts sort of a framework to it and questions that you can ask yourself. I'm really proud of it.
You've touched on a number of these things during the course of this brief interview, and obviously there's much more in the book and the workbook that we didn't have time to talk about, so people will have to explore that on their own. But what are some of the key concepts, key ideas that you hope that readers will take away from the work that you're doing?
I think the biggest concept is that things are not binary. You know, it's not, it's a group or it's a cult. It's all groups are somewhere on this spectrum. And one of the things I wanted to do as an intelligence officer who's the expert on the enemy is go, in the military, we call it left of the boom, before the bad things happen, before we hear about this group on the media as a cult, because we can measure the damage in bodies. Maybe you don't have all 10 things in your group. Maybe you only have 5. But those are the ones you should look at. And you can still be manipulated by people without it being a cult or being diagnosed as a cult. And also, cults pop up in times of social turmoil. And that's what we are living through right now. The world is very confusing. People are gonna stand up and be the gurus and promise easy answers. There are no easy answers in the world anymore. Right? Like Elon Musk was never going to take us to Mars when the world's best scientists cannot build a functioning ecodome. Just like a 19-year-old Stanford dropout wasn't going to invent Theranos, solve a blood testing problem that the world's best scientists couldn't figure out. So when people are offering you these big, broad, easy solutions, they're trying to cult you or con you. And I think my tactics book can help with that.
To learn more, the book is The Culting of America, What Makes a Cult and Why We Love Them by Daniela Mestedek Young. Daniela, thank you for talking with me today.
Thank you so much for having me.
You'll find more interviews on a wide variety of topics at kansaspublicradio.org/conversations. You can use the KPR app to listen to the latest episodes on your phone or tablet, and you'll also find us on Facebook. I'm Dan Skinner. Thanks for listening.